CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
None of the jelly bean in my dome.
At the club,
bodies fall out of Hershey's.
Club 1080.
Buy two windows and get two windows free. So if you need eight windows, you get eight windows free. No, four windows free. Does that make sense? Wait, eight, two, four. Yep, four. No, eight. I don't know.
Oh, I got something done.
America, yeah, flash! Trucks, balls, Screw the big learned people, no!
Wow.
It's pretty aggressive, sir.
That was intense. Why are you always yelling at us about flags in America?
Because that's what we do, man.
Yeah, man.
It's about flags. Love our flags.
Yeah, flags!
Welcome
flags,
back.
Flags and trucks. I need to get myself a truck stat.
Yeah, trucks, balls, yeah!
I'm truckless right now, and I feel inadequate. I do have a Bronco, though.
Yeah, I test drove a truck recently.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't like it.
You're like, yeah.
It was fine, but more than I need.
You used to have a big old Dodge. You used to be truck guy.
I had a Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
I loved that truck.
You rammed it.
Yeah,
it
was a great truck. Balls, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you went to a Nissan Leaf.
Now I have a little Beetle. A little Bug. Is that what they call them? What do they call those little, Herbie?
Yeah, that's a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah, I got a little Bug.
It's a Beetle, but they call it the Bug.
I got a Beetle.
I'm over here saving the world. I'm an EV guy. What can I tell you? Saving the world, unlike you.
Still driving the Subaru.
Believe me, I'm disappointed every day I see it out there.
Actually, you know what I'm driving right now is a Subaru as well.
Okay, I thought I saw you driving a Subaru.
You
Uh-huh.
Well, no, we just have one car right now.
What?
Well, we're in between.
I thought you had like a Highlander or something.
Yeah, we gave that back.
So now you're in a Subaru, huh?
The mom wagon wasn't working for me.
So now you've
my wife's car is a Subaru, so we share it.
So now you've gone to a more mom wagon.
Are you in the Outback? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Subaru Outback.
I think I'm going to get a Vespa. Tootle around on that.
Might be a little tough in the rain.
You know what you should get is you and Souk should get like a motorcycle sidecar combo.
Aw. Cute.
You can ride with your little scarf and your goggles.
Can I be in the sidecar?
Yes.
Molly Two Poop's got us. Be in my sidecar.
There you go.
Her little goggles.
Yeah, she can ride in my lap. We can go three style.
You get a mini motorcycle and sidecar for Ka and Molly Two Poops that just goes side by side. You two.
Ooh, that'd be cool. They'd be buddies.
My dog is like when Ka rides in our Bronco. He's that's the one. If we take him anywhere, it's alarming because his head. He sticks his head out of the windows. He goes in the back, and so you'll be at a stoplight or whatever, and he kind of goes back and forth, likes to check out what's happening. So we don't open the window all the way. We just open it enough to where like he can get his head out. But it's alarming when you see he's just so big. It's hilarious to see people's reactions if they don't really notice him at first, and then they glance out, and there's just this thing that's like hanging out. But he loves it. He loves going on rides.
Why do dogs like to stick their head out the window you're driving?
The wind. I think the wind feels good. And you can probably think about all the smells that are whipping by you. You know, Check out what's going on.
But
he
then sometimes it's a little too much.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, yeah. I got to go in.
Go back in. And he just goes to the other side. But yeah, I mean, I've had varying degrees of dogs that like going on rides. But Dude, he loves it. That's like his favorite thing. Even when it's super cold or raining, he gets upset if he's not able to get a head out the window. He sits there and kind of, he punches at the window. And then I always feel bad. I'm afraid he's going to knock the window out. So I just, even if it's bad out, I roll it down for him, and he gets his big old dumb head out there. And, you know, people love it. Everyone's always, I've had people like reach out and want to pet him at lights. He's a dog of the people.
A quarter of Americans are not certain that they would pass their driver's written exam if they were asked to retake it now, according to new research.
I feel very confident about the driving test, but the written test, it spooked me a little bit. But I was looking through some of the practice ones that are online.
Yeah.
And the samples only give you like 10 questions. You'd be fine.
A survey of 2,000 adults who drive examined how savvy respondents are about the road in their car, finding that just 40% are absolutely certain that they remember and follow all of the safety precautions that they learned when they first started to drive.
Yeah. Like I went through like three of these because they only give you like 10 questions. So I did two or three of these. Well, I'm on the third one now. And there's definitely some that may trip you up, like the number of feet, like you should park away from something. But a lot of this stuff, dude, it's not that bad. It's like,
all right, let's take the test.
Okay, it's like one of them was if you pull up to an intersection and the stoplight is out.
Yeah.
You know, we did that one.
Treat it like a stop sign.
Treat it like a stop sign.
Yeah.
If a green arrow turns into a solid green light, you may still turn but you must yield. May no longer turn and proceed straight, still have the right of way to turn, no longer have to turn in the direction of the arrow indicated.
You can still turn left, but you have to yield.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this one. Taking drugs along with alcohol increases the risk of crash, is no more dangerous than consuming alcohol by itself, lessens the effects of the alcohol on your ability to drive, has no effect on your general driving ability.
I'm going to go with the last one.
See, like, these aren't that bad. This is another one. They have a couple, like, this roadside means, and it's a yellow sign with someone walking. School crossing, pedestrian crossing, jogging trail, busy sidewalk.
Pedestrian.
You notice a vehicle defect which may affect the safe operation of your vehicle. Correct the defect as soon as possible. Correct the defect when you can afford it. Drive the vehicle at slower speeds. Drive normally. Right? Like,
okay.
Some of these, there's a lot of very, very common sense stuff on here.
Where are the battleground questions? Like the key questions that trip everyone up.
The one was like, there was a couple of them. Like, these you have to like click on and grade, but like there was a couple that were like, how many feet away from the intersection can you park? And it was like 50, 75, 100.
Yeah, see, those are bullsh because it's like
from an intersection?
Yeah, in an intersection. So if you pull up and you're gonna park on a curb, you can't park at the intersection. You have to be certain feet away from
it. Yeah, but don't they kind of show you with...
That's the thing is, when you're there, you kind of know where you have to stop. So, like, the whole number of feet thing, I think those are the lame questions that do get you.
Yeah.
What is the answer to that?
The one that from the intersection was 75 feet, I think.
What?
Yeah.
You have to park 75 feet?
From the intersection on the curb, I think it was.
What?
Maybe it was 50.
That doesn't make any sense.
Again, that was the one that I missed. There was like a sample 10 question, and that was the one that I missed.
Oh.
Like this one. A double yellow line means you may turn across the line to enter or exit a roadway, you may cross over the line to pass slower on the right, or you may not turn across the line to enter or exit a roadway.
Last one.
Yeah.
You can't mess with the double yellow.
Yes. And like here's one. If you're using high beams, you must dim your lights when oncoming traffic is within 500 feet, 400 feet, 450 feet.
Another one of the bullsh ones. Like, that is bullsh. You can't even.
I don't know.
When you're driving, you cannot determine the difference between 400 and 500 feet. You can't.
500 feet. Yeah. See, like that's more of when approaching a public transit bus from behind, when must you yield for the bus to re-enter traffic? If the bus has turned on its hazard lights.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Only when the bus doors are open. Mm-hmm. When the bus has its turn signal and flashing yield sign on.
I think last one.
Yeah.
Because I go around those stupid buses.
There you go.
I don't have patience.
A safe following...
Am I supposed to stay behind them?
Says, I bet you are.
Yeah, you are. You
can't go around them if they don't have... So by listening to that question, I can go around them if they are if the like they're letting people out and the just the flashing hazards are on, I can go around them.
Yes.
When I can't go around them is when they have their blinker on and the yield sign saying, hey, I want back in.
Also, yes. Did you say city bus?
Public transit bus.
Because if it's a school bus, you have to remain stopped.
Yeah.
That's different because there's kids crossing.
You don't mess with the kids.
A safe following distance, 2 to 4 seconds, no more than 2 seconds, at least 5 seconds.
That is entirely dependent at the rate of speed you're driving at.
Wrong.
Process of elimination, at least 5 seconds.
2 to 4 seconds.
What?
See?
Damn it.
These are the funky ones. Like where that, by the way, this is from Oregon.
That's a bad question. It's different if you're going 40 miles an hour.
This is from the Oregon.
I love how we will take no responsibility for missing these questions.
No.
Bad question.
Okay. Two-way street, stopped at an intersection. Can you legally turn left on a red light onto a one-way street?
Yes.
No, you must wait for a green light. Yes, after yielding to other traffic and pedestrians, only if there is a green arrow with the red light.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Can you
do it? Say it again.
Two one-ways?
You're on a two-way street.
Yeah.
You're stopped at an intersection.
Yeah. You're on a two-way street.
You're on a two-way street.
Okay.
Right?
Then no.
And can you legally turn left on a red light?
No.
The road you're turning on is a one-way.
No, I don't think you can on
because you still have oncoming traffic coming at you the other way.
It's a two-way street. So that's the problem.
No, wait for the green light. Yes, after yielding. Or only if there is a green arrow with a red light.
The first one. If you hit a green light and you yield.
Yes.
B, you can turn after yielding to other traffic and pedestrians. You can turn on a red arrow on a one-way street.
Turn left on a red arrow.
Yes.
Okay, so can I say what I always thought that was?
Sure.
I always thought that if you are on a one-way and you are turning onto a one-way, you don't need to worry about it. You can turn. It's like turning right on red.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is saying if you're on a two-way, you can still turn
on a one-way
on a red light left, crossing traffic.
Yes.
If you yield to other cars and pedestrians.
Yes.
I did not know that.
And I can't say that I knew that, but I do it all the time.
And now I want to do it.
Yeah, I do it. If I'm turning left onto a one-way, as long as there's no one coming, I still fire that up.
So I would think I would feel like I was running a red light.
No, you are not.
It seems like there's rarely a signal in those scenarios.
By the way, I thought we would, like, from my sample, I thought that we would do better than this. We may be in trouble. We're not doing so
good. And I like how we think we're experts on these answers, and we're like, well, no, that has to be wrong.
So easy.
When passing a bicyclist at speeds greater than 35 miles an hour, do you leave enough distance to prevent contact with the bicyclist if they were to fall? Drive faster so you can pass them quicker. Lightly honk your horn so they give you more room to pass.
Love that. Well, I mean, come on. That's an easy one.
And that's what you said on the last one.
Right.
What is it?
Well, that's not what I said on the last one, but can you give me the answers again?
Leave enough distance to prevent contact if they fall.
Yeah.
Drive faster so you can get by them.
No.
Lightly honk your horn so they give you more room.
The first one.
Yeah.
Cool. That's easy.
All right, here's as a driver, you must stop for a pedestrian at an intersection only if they're in a marked crosswalk, only if the pedestrian is on the other side of a safety island, if the pedestrian is in a marked or unmarked crosswalk.
Oh, those are the only three options?
Then it's
the last one.
Yeah. See, again.
Because you have to stop for pedestrians no matter what.
Yeah. So some of these are, and these are from Oregon. Some of these are pretty simple. If you're unsure if school is in session, slow down to 20, stop for pedestrians, continue traveling the designated speed limit for non-school days.
No, you slow down.
If you're unsure, you pretend that school's in session.
Yeah, come on, you always got to protect the kids. every question that involves kids in schools,
when in doubt,
will favor the kids.
Yeah.
Stupid, but it does.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's
just kidding.
Any,
that's great.
If there's any, others, ooh, here you
shove that straight up your little kid ass.
How does Oregon laws restrict the use of mobile devices for drivers under the age of 18? Drivers can read text messages, but are not allowed to respond.
No,
drivers must use the hands-free accessory.
Yes.
Or drivers cannot use mobile electronics when operating a vehicle.
I'm going to go with the last one.
Yeah, it's the last one because you said under 18.
Under 18.
Yeah, it's the last one.
They are not allowed to.
Yeah, you can't do that, you little bitches.
Yeah. I like this
one.
We
can, though.
One of the answers, like, these are the questions. Weaving through traffic can get you where you want to go faster.
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think if there's any others that are stumbling, because a lot of these are. I'm only giving you the ones that are kind of funky. A lot of these, the vast majority are very, very simple. Like to safely back up your vehicle.
Well, what do you got to get on the test?
75%.
That's it. We'd be fine.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
Because we're smart.
When parking uphill against a curb, do you turn your wheels towards the curb, turn your front wheels towards the travel lane, or keep your front wheels straight?
Towards the lane.
Up. If you're going uphill, you do it towards the traffic lane.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Because you want the if it rolls back, you then want it to roll into the curb.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And just the opposite when you're downhill.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Those are all sample questions from the Oregon DM.
So we know what's up.
You'd be fine. Definitely some sticky ones in there. But I'd say at least 7 to 8 out of the 10 questions are kind of no-brainers if you just stop and think.
Let's talk about the power of being barefoot.
Let's.
Next on The Fan. Okay, we've got a barefoot man to talk about here. Jace.
I like being barefoot, to an extent.
This man looks exactly like you would think he would look.
What's the name here?
He looks like Forrest Gump.
Okay.
And he walked barefoot from L.A. to New York.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
Barefoot.
So that seems like a bad 3,000
miles?
Yep. 260 days it took him, and he did set the Guinness World Record. He is a Dutchman.
Oh, yeah. I see him right here.
His name is Anton Newtonboom. He is a Dutch Army veteran.
And thank you for your service.
He walked over 3,100 miles over 8.5 months. Never... in shoes or socks.
I'm always fascinated, but so 8.5 months, what do you do like for
a
living? Like you just, who has 8.5 months to walk?
Well, he said his wife and his kid followed him in a, in like a van.
Boy, how fun for them.
Yeah. It was just the thing that
Want to watch dad walk through New Mexico today?
Yeah, that just seems.
It was the thing he wanted to do. They call him the Barefoot Dutchman.
How original.
And, yeah, that seems like a kind of a lame...
That's the best you had?
Nickname. You got to do something with Newtonboom.
Clearly.
Like Footonboom or something? Yeah. I don't know. Just workshopping here.
Yeah, he said that he wasn't... He could have worn socks or shoes while taking breaks, but he decided not to.
They went through the desert and snow. Shards of broken glass. When a car tire blows, there are metal pins in them, so I had to pull them out of my feet quite a lot. The first month or so was more interesting because my skin was still soft.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the concrete of the roads. It becomes like sandpaper. Little rocks would just go inside those wounds. So they were in a camper van following him. Where they would sleep was a full surprise. They would never know until you get to the end of the day. Mm. In the bigger cities, it'd be like Walmart parking lots because they have toilets out there.
Sure.
But he said a lot of times they were in the middle of nowhere, desert, forest, surviving on canned foods. Occasionally, they would stay in hotels so they could shower, and other guests were taken aback by his lack of footwear.
Yeah, I would say that's a little weird. His girlfriend's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's pushing some sort of little stroller that he
yeah, I think
with.
That's where he's raising money
yeah.
with that thing.
Yeah.
So, he served in the Dutch Army for 10 years. He did 3 tours in Afghanistan.
All right.
And he timed the end of his voyage to coincide with Movember because it is a fundraiser for men's mental health.
Sure.
And so far, he's raised over $40,000.
Okay. All right. Well,
again, how is he feeding his family?
I don't know.
Probably with that $40,000.
Yeah.
I thought that's supposed to go to the men's mental health awareness.
It's supposed to, but
yeah, I wonder how much
does it ever?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. You know. Yeah. Boy. Whatever you need to feel good about yourself, I'm just, again, you know me. Anytime we have these stories that pop up, I always ask the same question. Why? But, you know, maybe you felt like it was something you really needed to do. Oh.
Well, he says that he had financial pressure and heartbreak, and he was not in the right job, and he ended up back in a hospital, and he was in his bunk bed, and he was early 30s. He's only 37 now. And he realized that he just didn't have an identity. And he said he would just always pretend of this goal-driven life in the Army, but he didn't like that. So he ended up living near the beaches of Sydney, Australia, and he'd walk around barefoot. And he said that was the thing. He
just sounds like a bum, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass. He just sounds like a
Seems like a guy that didn't figure it out for a while, and it's like, I like walking on the beach. Maybe I'll do something
with
that.
But I hate to tell you, but he still seems like a bum in that he doesn't have a job. Like,
well, he's a bum with a hot.
He's a bum with a hot.
And he quickly discovered, he said that walking without shoes or socks helps your psyche. He says, I always thought that was a bunch of hippie stuff, but then I started to feel that the charge of the earth, it holds a certain energy, and we are supposed to be walking around barefoot so we can get that energy.
Okay.
And you start to create the happy chemicals once your bare feet touch the earth.
All right. Can I, again...
A little Bob Ross of him?
Sure. But
happy little chemicals.
Because I've heard of that. Like, people are like, oh, you connect with the earth. But you're not connecting with the earth. You're connecting with asphalt. And last time I checked...
Not always.
You know... most of his stuff was walking on roads and asphalt. And they're like, well, our ancestors... What, the ancestors didn't have asphalt to walk on? This isn't some sort of Native American track through the woods of California and the highlands of the Rock. Like, you're just walking across freeways. Is that really...
Huh. Well, he says the persona of the barefoot Dutchman was born 5 years ago when he went to the base camp of Mount Everest barefoot. A feat that had never been accomplished.
Now he just seems dumb. What do you want, frostbite?
I mean, his feet do look pretty gnarled, but I mean,
I don't think his feet actually look bad when you... Because there's a picture of him.
Yeah, I see him.
I mean, you know, certainly dark on the bottom.
I don't know. That big toe looks a little sketch. I mean, where does the barefoot Dutchman go from here, huh?
Well, he says he wants to set more world records. So somebody texted him and said... This
sounds like a guy that doesn't want to work and
doesn't really have anything else to do.
Yeah.
He's searching for himself.
Sure. And
how many walks is that going to take?
I just got to believe that there's that money is not going to people with mental health. I'm with you. I think that money's going in his pocket.
Fire up an OnlyFeet?
$92,000 now.
His OnlyFeet? For like Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, types. I don't know. Foot people got to be like, whoa, those dogs have traveled 3,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee he's got an Instagram sort of thing.
That's probably how he's making the money.
He's a good looking guy. He's got a hot. He definitely is a sexy homeless guy.
Well,
he
already
homeless.
Set the record for the longest barefoot walk in 2021. That time he went 1,900 miles from Cairns to Sydney. Mm. Then in January, a Polish man broke that record.
He can't have that.
Yeah, well, Newton Boom reached out to him, and he sent him a message, said, I'm sorry, but I am about to double your ass.
And
like, it got hot. And he did. So he says he plans to complete more world records. I will never do something as big as this again, let me say that. But there are world records that you can do in a day or two.
And he's got a book, too, now that you can buy called Brave Men Talk. So
is that brave? Walking the...
And he's not even talking. He's walking. What are you talking about, man?
I mean, you know, you wouldn't do it.
No.
No, because it's dumb.
Yeah. I'm not saying I couldn't do it. I'm just asking, why would I?
Because who's buying that book?
You would.
You just read the story on him. Well, what do you need to know for... Who,
yeah.
How many copies he sell?
Probably not a lot in there, but...
Well, I guess he's inspirational to...
You would do it if you're brave.
Over or under 1,000 copies sold?
Under.
I think so, too. About 500.
Although, I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference for... Books like when a book is on the bestseller list, how many is it selling?
Well, yeah, there is a specific number that it has to be that it has to reach, and I don't remember what it is, but yeah, it's not in comparative. There is a number of books for it to be on the New York Times bestseller list. That much I know. Have you seen the political people though that are smart that what they do?
A book typically needs 5,000 to 10,000 copies sold in a week to be considered a bestseller.
That's it?
Yeah.
In the country or in the world?
5,000 just for that week though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to do high volume over a short period of time. And it's got to do that over and over again to stay there.
That doesn't seem like that many.
The best part though is
people read anymore?
All the politicians will write a book and then they can use their campaign funds to buy the book and then hand them out.
Yeah, so like, shady as hell.
So like every political person that has a best-selling book, yeah, it's because they can buy like 200,000 copies of their book. And then and then that money goes in their pocket. It's money laundering. It's kind of kick-ass. I kind of wish I did it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Like you know who's on the bestseller list right now? I was just looking at the bestseller list.
Yeah, the New York Times, that's the big one, right?
Well, that's what everybody references.
Yeah.
That guy, the Russian guy who they held in captivity and then, because he was opposition to Putin,
yeah.
Navalny.
Yeah, he's got Navalny. He's on a bestseller?
Well, they published a memoir of his after he died.
Oh.
I bet that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
I mean, not that I'm going to buy it.
No, but it's interesting to see kind of what he went through and all that. What if it's written by Putin, though? It's like, and it just talks about
ghostwriter.
Talks about how awesome it was, like, in captivity, and, like, how Putin's sexy, and yeah, he's got a bigger dong than I do, and, like, the biggest regret of my life was not being more like Vladimir Putin.
Lee Child and Andrew Child have the number one best-selling book in the United States right now called...
Is that a Reacher? That's
In Too Deep.
Yeah, that's the...
Reacher novel.
Yeah, that's the Jack Reacher guy. That dude, like, craps a book out and it sells a million copies. People freaking love that. Well, Barefoot Dutchman. So if you're a bum and you don't know what to do, one, get really good looking and start walking. And get a hot if you can.
You know, Alex Van Halen has a book on here.
Oh.
Number two on
I saw that. There was a review of that on, like, Rolling Stone, because I guess he's notoriously quiet, but he wrote about his brother's passing and all that.
It's called Brothers.
Yeah.
It's about his life with the band and, of course, Eddie.
Yeah. I might...
Or Edward.
I've got a couple credits on the old Audible book. I might... I love a good musician biography. I might give that a whirl.
And John Grisham has the number one print and ebook nonfiction called Framed. That guy, you want to talk about a guy cranking him out?
Yeah.
How many books does that guy have?
I'm not even sure he writes his own books anymore. I think that, like, no, seriously, I think that he has, like, a team that follows his formula and he just kind of throws an outline.
Are you serious?
Wall. I think.
God, he's got a million books.
That's the thing is, I don't think he couldn't write them fast enough. He just has, like, a little John Grisham factory.
I don't read nonfiction. But I bet you I could name at least six John Grisham movies. And those are just the ones that have been turned into movies.
Like, Time to Kill, Runaway Jury.
Time to Kill, The Firm.
The Firm, The Pelican Brief.
Yeah. That guy, you know, that guy's had so many books turned into movies.
He has written 37 consecutive number one fiction bestsellers.
Jeez. What is that guy pulling in?
God.
Not to mention all the different ones that have been... Like you said, I'm assuming he gets a big old chunk of money when they turn those into movies.
When they get adapted into screenplays or shows? Yeah, yeah. I imagine so.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's hot barefoot talk. Somehow turned into book talk.
Loser.
The Barefoot Dutchman.
Buck is disgusted.
There's just nothing cool about this.
The Barefoot Dutchman. Yeah, it seems a little...
It seems a little...
The cause seems kind of like half...
It's self-serving.
Yeah.
But look...
Aren't all these things self-serving?
Well, but, you know, look, the guy was probably just going through it, and he didn't know what else to do, and he's like, F it, I'm going to try to do something cool for dudes.
It's better than being a...
Exactly.
Well, if you're going to be a bum, at least be a bum with a hot girlfriend that walks,
be a walking bum.
That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like where we're going.
Bow.
All right, Oregon Trail is back. That's next. Here's Buck. And for our final trick tonight, we reminisce.
Let someone die again?
No. What do you mean again?
Well, Quincy Jones just died.
Oh. No.
Thanks for listening to our program.
I host the program.
Doesn't mean
Were you paying attention when Quincy Jones passed?
I was. And you know what? I don't think we did a good enough job of eulogizing the great Quincy Jones.
We barely did anything.
If I'm being honest. Eulogize. I think we turned it into some sort of conversation about, I don't know, Thanksgiving or something.
Did we?
Yeah.
I guess there's a Netflix documentary on him.
He's greatness. Anyway, no, I'm talking about a famed grade school video game called Oregon Trail.
Oh, I loved the Oregon Trail.
Love.
Now, the question becomes, did you guys play the Oregon Trail even though you weren't in Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah?
I played the Oregon Trail in computer class in elementary school.
Yeah. I loved it.
We did not.
Yeah?
No.
Kansas.
It was big. It was a big deal because when you got to play it in computer class, like you never got a chance to finish, and so everyone was always devastated when they didn't get to the end of the Oregon Trail.
We played the Oregon Trail and Odell Lake. Those are the two games that we played on our Apple computers with the green screen.
Yeah, did you always load up on way more ammo and do way more hunting than you needed to and then get like 8,000 pounds of bison that you could only carry 25?
No, that was kind of lame because I was all about trying to ford the Columbia River, man. I wasn't into this whole macho, let's shoot as many things as possible. No, man, it was about surviving.
Well, I was.
And I took it personally when family members didn't make it. I didn't like it when someone got dysentery and died. Someone broke a leg. It was like, no, man.
Cholera gets the baby.
Everyone's getting to the great upper left, man. Took that seriously.
Well, we may have had it. I don't remember it.
You don't remember? So have you never played it?
Do you get, like, Oregon Trail game references?
Yes.
When they say, like, your oxen has died and stuff like that?
Yes, I do. Somewhere along the line, I played it. I just don't remember it being a big thing.
Yeah.
They tried to shield us from your hippie bullcrap back there.
This was very STEM-forward.
No, you're right, it was. But I remember it, but not vividly, so I don't know. Of course, I don't remember much of anything.
No. That was always one of those that was a big deal. When we go to computer lab once a week,
yeah,
and you had to like learn to do something stupid, and then if you were got through whatever your bullcrap assignment was, you got to play. But you could never again. It was BS. Because,
you'd make it to Chimney Rock, and that was that.
Yeah, you never had enough time to finish the Oregon Trail.
Is it possible that I'm just a hair older?
I think
maybe
it is possible that it wasn't the thing yet.
Yeah, it wasn't
like 3 years older than me. No.
No, I think
well,
3 years
is... Well, but just with the sliding doors of, like, the release, like, if it came out when Suk was in elementary and Rop was in middle school...
I think that's
how
right.
old are you, Buck?
I'm 39.
No, BS. Because I'm
3 40. Years is a long time.
I'm 40. There's 7 years between me and him. Why did I play it and
Because... Well, I think I played it. I'm just saying, I think Buck's right that it wasn't as... It hadn't caught on. It was new when I was that young.
Hmm.
And then I grow out of it because I'm... a badass, and then you dopes.
You're over there getting girls, and the rest
That's
of us
right.
are over there, you know, hunting
on
for beef. You're getting a different kind.
I'm spraying on Axe body spray and Drakkar cologne to go pick up some hots.
I was more of a cool water man myself, but, you know, I get it. I understand where you're coming from.
So I think that maybe, I don't know, we'd have to go back and look at the, you know.
I'm looking at the different versions of the game. Yeah. It looks like it first came out in 71, but it didn't. Yeah. It wasn't available on, like, Apple and DOS until, like, 85 and 90.
Well,
so.
There you go. That would explain it right there, because I would have been 10 and 85 and moved on to HOTS by 87.
No, I loved me some Oregon Trail.
At any rate, what I'm telling you is that the Hollywood Reporter first to reveal that Apple is developing a movie based on the Oregon Trail.
I heard that.
The original computer game set in 1848, giving players the opportunity to channel the thousands who travel on a wagon from Independence at Wagon Road from Independence, Missouri to Oregon's Willamette Valley.
Now, check me if I'm wrong, but isn't that just you're basing a movie on the Oregon Trail?
Yes.
I mean,
you're not really doing it based on the game unless you're doing.
Yeah.
My guess is they spend time at certain landmarks that you stop at in the game, too.
Yeah.
But like,
maybe, because again, if you're doing it, like.
It's not like you're following a script here.
Yeah. Unless.
Stock up at the general store before you go out, get Ma, Pa, and the kids.
I just don't know how you would make a thing about the video game when you're just making it about the Oregon Trail.
Yeah. Can't really do that the game.
Well,
I'd watch it.
According to Hollywood Reporter, the film inspired by the game is in its early development phase. Will Speck and Josh Gordon, the multi-hyphenates behind films like Blades of Glory and The Switch with Jennifer Aniston, are set to direct and produce.
Mm.
The Lucas brothers are slated to write the screenplay. They wrote Judas and the Black Messiah.
That was a really good movie.
Similar to Barbie, the Oregon Trail movie is also expected to include its own original musical numbers.
Oh, boy.
So, they're doing something quirky with this, then? Like, it doesn't sound...
Kind of like La La Land?
Maybe?
So as you're crossing and someone's dying of dysentery, there's going to be a I'm Just Ken number? Interesting.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be bad, but...
I don't know. I mean, some of those are, like, Jesus and the Black Messiah was great. Barbie was a big success. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll be decent. But it does seem weird that this doesn't sound like a traditional movie about... Because you would think that just a story of a family or a community going on the Oregon Trail would be pretty badass. You could make a great movie, Christian Bale style, with that. But they may be trying to take a little bit of a lighthearted poke at this.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I would like to point out that the Oregon Lab computer adventure led to the greatest ass-kicking that I've ever seen. When did you have the one kid that was, like, in charge of the computers? Like, he was, like, the computer guy?
See, again, I'm just a little bit older. We didn't really have a computer.
I kind of know what you're talking about. He's like the class aide kind of.
We had a kid named JP. I forget what his last name was, but he was whatever you think of like a 1980s nerd into computers, it would be him. And he was like captain of the computer lab. He knew more probably than the person in charge of the computer lab. So he was like the teacher's aide, and he would be very snarky, you know, about, because no one knew anything about computers. And so he would kind of talk down to you. And he talked down to a Latino gal who was very much into the Latino gang kind of. They wore like the baggy dickies and like wife beaters, you know, that, you know, the big eye makeup. And she uncorked the greatest ass beating that I've ever seen in the history of the school fight
game. JP got it, huh?
Oh,
well, is that because he couldn't really fight back? Because
he weighed like 104 pounds,
and so she just whipped.
She was like a, you know. But didn't you all have that gal that hung out with kind of like the gang? That she was just a bigger.
We had some tough gals.
Yeah,
but they would only fight other girls.
Oh no! He said something snarky. She said something. He said, and he was always a very snarky kid. And I literally felt bad for him because no one. Like, everyone was just, like, in awe. I mean, she beat his ass. And I'll never forget that in computer lab.
What do you think that did for him?
It was not good. I think he left...
It ruined his life?
I think it ruined his life. Like...
I saw one of those ones.
Well, either that, I'll tell you what. He's not going to mouth off to anyone about computers anymore. Yeah, you saw one of those where it's a life changer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a party in high school. It wasn't a girl. It was two dudes, but... I've told you about him. His name's Chad Dodge. He was the biggest bully in school, and he absolutely demolished this kid. I mean, I still have the sound of his. Well, I don't need to describe too much. It was really bad to the point where I think he was permanently maimed, and I had to testify in court with all the other kids and everything. Like, Dodge kicked the crap out of that dude, ruined his life.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Did Dodge ruin his own life too?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was never friends with the guy. He was a douchebag. But I have seen him on LinkedIn, and he seems to be, out of prison.
That's good.
I don't think he ever did time or anything. It was juvies. But he's got a life.
Well, I'll just say that...
Hopefully he's very remorseful.
JP never recovered. I mean, he wasn't a well-liked kid to begin with, but he never... You can't come back from getting your ass kicked by a girl. Not like that.
Not in front of everyone like
Not
that.
In front of everybody. Yeah. And then, of course, the story spread, and he was done. I think he left like the next year, either moved or transferred schools or whatever. And it was, you know, I don't think he had a great experience anyways, but man, I wish I could remember what that girl's name was, but good Lord, it was vicious.
All right. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. All right. Well, what's everybody going to do tonight? You guys going to go home and...
Maction, baby.
Yeah? Who's playing?
There's a game between Miami of Ohio and Ball State. And the punter for one of the teams threw a pick six. So, Maction is alive and well.
There you go.
They pull a Cowboys?
A Cowboys. Did the Cowboys punter throw a pick?
Well, he didn't throw a pick, but he almost
I missed
did.
That over there.
It was a terrible fake punt.
They did a fake punt, but on a punt play, there's no such thing as pass interference.
Yeah, you just tackled him.
So...
No.
It kind of didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out so well. Whoops.
For Dallas.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get a sandwich. And
sandwich.
Take a deep breath.
What kind of sandwich?
I was going to get a Grant's cheesesteak, but it turns out they close at 7.
Boo.
So, yeah, no good.
Who closes at 7?
I don't know.
It's like right in the middle of dinner time.
I might call and see if maybe they're open a little bit
Am
later.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
You sell sandwiches and you close at 7?
Yeah. It would seem that... If you're going to stay open till 7, you should at least be staying open till 8.
Yes. I'd say maybe 8, 9. So, maybe 9.
If Grant's is closed, then I guess Philly Blimo's it is over in the Couve. And get a cheesesteak. Sit down. It's just me and my daughter. I'm going to try to tell her to take a deep breath. She's a little concerned tonight. And, you know, whatever happens, happens.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
She's got some anxiety over this one.
I love cows.
So.
Well, I think a lot of people do.
Well, and now when you look at their, you know, it's the early, you know, I mean, he's kicking ass right now. It's 162 to 81. But obviously that changes. I mean, 54 for California changes that immediately. And he already has Texas and some of that. So, you know.
Yeah, it's all the battlegrounds.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Same thing every time.
Same every time.
Comes down to the same five, six states.
Which is why it's just so stupid that we do the Electoral College. It's amazing to me that such an antiquated thing still rules. But, you know.
It is not a true democracy.
No, it is not. But we shall see. So, and we might not even know tonight when it's all said and done. So,
you know who's going to know?
What?
Patrick.
Patrick will know?
Yep.
A little baseball. Just telling everyone tonight, take a deep breath. And,
no, F you.
Maybe roll one and...
Screw you.
Have a glass of wine or scotch.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Whatever you're into. And
I'm going to have one of those big mama glasses.
There you go. I think I'm going to go...
And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Isaac's going to drop a 10-mg gummy and just go, yeah.
Depending on where this goes, there will either be a nice, sophisticated Lagavulin glass or two to kind of celebrate. Or if it goes the other way, you got a bottle of Tully's that's just looking to be...
Your guy were to lose, when do they call you to the Capitol to riot? Like they did last time.
Well, we're not doing that for a while, right?
Because we got to fight till January.
Yeah, in January. We got to fight through the courts. And
hey, Inauguration Day is the same day as MLK Day and the College Football National Championship.
What?
This year. Monday the 20th. Monday, January 20th. That's Sook's big day.
Is 10 milligrams a lot?
No, I meant 100 milligrams.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I was like.
No, 10 is like one of the.
That's
when you
normal.
When you get the 10 in the pack, that's 100 total. So you're going to do the big guy.
God, I wonder what would happen if I. 8, 10 milligram gummies.
Do it.
Only one way
There's
to find
no
out.
Those.
Should I?
Yeah, do it. See what happens.
Kind of wants it.
You should.
All right. Hot Corner is coming up next. We are back tomorrow. 3-7 Fake Night.